Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Even before they leave off this this little stage, I want to read something from Revelation chapter 2. And tonight, even though there's a small group here, I want to share my heart. I'm going to continue to do that because if the Word of God isn't really in you, fully and absolutely in you, and you allow it to have its way in you, really a lot of things you say, if they're not anointed by the Holy Spirit, they don't really mean much. It's good. You can, you know, it's kind of like being in the restaurant business. You can prepare a meal and you can go right by the recipe. You know how it's supposed to be prepared and you can put it up there and in the window and people eat it. But if you've never tasted it, you really don't know what you're cooking. Right? It may look good, and because you're a cook, you can get it done, you know. What God's been saying a lot to me, even in this last few days of being gone, is that the Word has to be so much a part of who we are. God's Word has to be a part of each and everything we do each and every day, because if we don't have it in our diet, if we don't really allow it to have its way in us, then we're not going to be able to walk out what God has for us. And so even in this scripture here just got me today, and I'm going to open up with this, because in the days ahead, it's going to be hard to speak truth. It's going to be rough to speak truth in the days ahead. And every message that we talk about when we talk about, you know, the day of the Lord and his return or anything like that, I want it to be filled with hope, because really the greatest thing that could ever happen to us as a nation or as a on the face of the planet is that Jesus would return and set up his kingdom, right? That's the greatest thing that could ever happen. And if you look at all the prophets throughout the scripture, if you look at all their messages, they're all speaking one message. They're speaking and it coincides with each other. They're talking about a Messiah that will come. They're talking about the day of the Lord. And they're talking about the messianic kingdom that begins to have its way on the earth after he returns. Whether it's Ezekiel, whether it's in Revelation, whether it's in Daniel, no matter what, it's all speaking about those three major things. About the Messiah coming, the day of the Lord, and the messianic kingdom. It all leads to that joy. So no matter what message we bring, the hope that we have in that is amazing. The hope that we have in Jesus. In this scripture in Revelation 2, it says, this is kind of bring it to us. This is to all the churches. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Do you know what that is? That's the churches. That's the one who walks. So it's talking about Jesus, and he's walking in the midst of the church. And all the churches, all the denominations, Jesus is in the midst. It says, he's walking in our midst. It says this, I know your deeds, and I know your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you've left your first love. The point that I wanted to make, just even with the worship team, with gathering together this night, whether it be on Sunday, every church that's throughout this region, every gathering, it says in the Word that Jesus is walking in the midst of the lampstands, that Jesus is walking in the midst of the worship, and he's checking out where your heart is and what you're doing and what you're feeling. He's walking. Every time you worship, he's walking in the midst of it. Every time I speak, he's walking in the midst of it. Every time we worship, he's walking in the midst of the church. The Word is true, and he's living inside of us. So I wanted to kind of just start off with that tonight to say, think about that. Dwell on that. He's checking out everything you do. Do you believe that? I believe that. And that when we worship tonight, he's walking in our midst. Every other church that worshiped, every gathering, he's in the midst of that. It says it in his Word. And he's checking out where your heart is and how you're responding in your heart. He's checking out that you're in that place of your heart when you worship and you're not just in your head. Every one of us. And you ask yourself the question tonight, okay, was I in my head tonight or was I in my heart? And my challenge tonight, and you guys can go on down, but my challenge tonight is that if we have that understanding and that truth from the Word, that we begin to carry our hearts differently in this day and the days ahead. And so some of the things that I'm going to share with you tonight is going to be a little different, but it's some of the things that I felt like the Lord spoke to me while I was having a time away, just certain things He said. First of all, I just want to make this a revelation. Again, when I speak about anything that we're going through, I want you to know that I want you and I want myself to live in the joy of the Lord's return. What if you had what if you were part of an army, and you are? What if you were part of this army, and you're battling against all this sin and all these different things and evil on the face of the planet, and your king came back to redeem all things and restore all things, and he came back victorious? Wouldn't that cause your heart to leap? What if your bridegroom came after you? Let's just bring it down. Let's just say that you were in bad shape. And what if all of a sudden your bridegroom came coming through and he was able to help you and redeem you and restore you and save you in the midst of an hour? Is that not hope? That's the day of the Lord. That's why when we speak about it, it's not that, well, hey, man, I'm dealing with things each and every day. It's because we know that our King is coming. And we live in the hope of that. And we understand that. So in the times of difficulties, in the times of being hard to speak truth, we know that God's preparing our hearts, and He's preparing your heart. And I believe He's preparing your heart for what's coming. As I was down, I hate to say this because it's been so cold, but I don't want to rub this in anybody's face. But as it was, you know, in the 70s, and it wasn't white snow, it was white sand, and we were there, I was watching these people get up in the morning. It looked like an exodus, a mass exodus, and they were walking on the beach. And there were so many walking of every age, but they had with their carts, with their children. They were riding bicycles because the sand is so fine and so, it's like a highway. And I was looking at all these people walking. I was wondering, man, do they really know where they're going? Do they really understand? And I was reading this one book called The Harbinger. And this one man walked up to me and said, "That's a good book," because it's a heavy book. And I said, "Yeah, it is. That's the only guy." Because I was walking, I wasn't walking on the highway, on the sand. But it was just, I was seeing all these people. As far as the eye could see it, I was wondering, do they really know where they're going? Do they really understand what's happening? Do they really understand what's upon them? And Dave Raymer and I spoke for a long time today. And we shared, if there's one thing that we want to make sure that here at Voice is that we prepare people with messages that can enjoy the Lord and have hope in His Word for their family and whatever they do, but they also are prepared for the days ahead so that they're not overtaken by the days that are coming. And that's, I just want to again share that a little bit with you today. In Revelation 2:11, Jesus is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, in the midst of the church, in the midst of teaching, in the midst of worship. And Jesus is seeing absolutely everything that we do. Jesus gives this to us. I believe that, and that's why I wanted to share that scripture. He gives this to us to help prepare us because He doesn't want any one of us to be swallowed up in immorality. He doesn't want any one of us to be swayed away by the time in which we're living because things are increasing. He doesn't want us to be swallowed up in compromise. He wants our hearts on fire, whether we're with a few people, one person, or many. He wants our hearts on fire in the workplace. He wants our hearts on fire as we're driving, as we're walking, as we're talking. He wants our hearts burning for Him. And He's preparing us to burn in that way so that we don't get swallowed up and we don't let our guard down, but we stay passionate. God wants us to be consumed with His Word. If you turn to Ezekiel, I just want to share this real quick. Ezekiel 3. Listen to this. Ezekiel 3, 1 through 3. It says this. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened up my mouth and he fed me the scroll. He said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with the scroll, which I'm giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. God said, take my word, every one of you in this room, especially anybody teaching, and swallow the word. It represents the word of God, the message of God, his heart, the living word. Swallow that and let it consume everything within you. Let it be your nourishment. Let it give strength to what you do and what you say. Son of man, take the word, take the scroll and eat it and find it as sweet as honey in everything that you do. That's a call not only to people that are messengers or called to minister. That's called to each and every one of us. And many times we don't take time to even sit underneath the word, even when it's being brought. And God says, eat it, consume it, let it nourish every part of who you are. That's what it's saying in the word. And so my heart tonight and from here on is that I repent of times that I have not been in the word to the degree that the Lord wants me in his word. Remember what I talked about getting making a dish and bringing it in the window and serving sometimes you can just grab something and just deliver it because you know how to do it. Sometimes you can paint a painting because you know how to paint. But if it's not inspired by the word of God, if it's not truly from that place of the Spirit, you know the difference. Well, it may encourage a few people. Sometimes you sing from your mind and from your talent, but not from a place of devouring the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to begin to move through your life. How you raise your children, how you speak to your children from this day forward, is it inspired through the Word of God living in you because you've consumed it and it's really in there and you're asking God to give you revelation and understanding? Or is it just some little devotion? Devotions are fine, but he wants you to know it. He wants you to be consumed by his living word. He wants the word to be your nourishment more than anything else. And I felt that conviction so strong today, even as we were talking, Dave and I, because God was saying, you know what? This is a time like no other. Here's another thing we were sharing. What if, and I'm going to talk to you straight, kids are cool, I'll talk above that. And what if every one of you in this room know that this nation is in a financial catastrophe, right? Every one of you know that. We're up at $18 trillion in debt, right? We have Congress people saying, we're so vulnerable to the enemy, to things right now. This nation, God is a God of love, he's a God of mercy, but he's also a God of judgment. And his judgments, listen, his judgments are warnings because he gives us a warning so that his mercy can begin to awaken us to what we need to do, where we need to live, how we need to function as a people. And so tonight, even as I share this with you, Ezekiel 3 about the word, I'm going to change a little bit of a direction here. And God gives the word of God to us so that we can have it and affect our understanding and how we live. When you're in the restaurant business or you're, say, a real estate agent, the biggest thing is location, 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 right? Okay, well, here's the thing about God's word. Context, context, context. God's word was not written for America. Although it applies to our lives because we're grafted in, right? As spiritual Jews, when we accept Christ, we're grafted into that family, okay? But everything that was written in the Bible in context, everything was written regarding the Middle East and Jerusalem and Israel, everything. America was not in it. And so context, context, when we read the Bible, a lot of times we try to take it and just apply it to a Western mindset or ideology. And that's not what God is asking of us. He's asking us to devour the word, to eat it, to consume it, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and bring it into the context that gives us understanding for the time in which we're living. When we look, as I said earlier, about what's happened in the times past and from the prophets as they're speaking about the coming of the Messiah, the day of the Lord, and then the Messianic kingdom. If you'll read any of those prophets, they'll all come into that one major thing. And that's what this whole thing's about. It's about Jesus redeeming us from the garden. And since the garden, listen, since the garden, the enemy has been at war with God and who? All of us. He's at war with us. And he's been at war with us. And so that's when you share these messages, the hope that you have is first and foremost salvation, that you've come to the Lord and you have him as your Savior. But second is that the day of the Lord is about him coming and redeeming and restoring all things and then moving in the millennial kingdom. So we can't shrink back and have some like little Western mindset to keep everything we have and hope that everything plays out real good without understanding the context of everything involved. When we see what's happening in the Middle East right now, it has everything to do with the scripture and prophecy. Those nations that were all spoken about when Jesus comes back to really have his way, they're all Middle East nations. Israel is sitting in the midst of great hatred. You and I are not sitting in the midst of that, not yet. They are surrounded by countries that hate them and want them off the planet. Maybe we've been hated by a few people. We've went through some terrible times, and we felt that. But to keep our eyes and the understanding of what's happening in the East is huge, is huge. And so I want to just move forward a little bit more here. As long as Israel continued in God's word, they were good. As long as they were dedicated, they were completely dedicated their nation to God, they were good. But every time they stepped away from that, and every time immorality had its way, and they begin to worship other gods, everything began to happen, and God's judgment would become part of their life because he loved them, and he wanted them to come back to him. It was a warning. Don't worship false gods. Don't sacrifice certain things on altars. Come to me. And so God's design is for us to turn to him. Amen? God's design is for every one of us to turn to him. The word right now that I think is the word above every other word is return. Return. Return to your first love. Return to him with all of your heart. Don't let anything get in the way of that. Return to him. That's his design. We live in a nation that has been highly favored. We live in a nation that's been highly blessed. And the truth is this, is that this nation has been more blessed and favored above any other nation that has ever been on the planet. Did you know that? And this nation, like Israel, was committed by prayer and dedicated by prayer. And guess who it was dedicated to? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what our nation was dedicated to. And so in the Old Testament, when we look in the context of how things have happened to Israel, the only other nation that's been dedicated to that God, not Allah, but to that God, was Israel and the United States of America. The only ones. And the day that they were dedicated, both of them prayed. And prayed for God's blessing and God's favor and that God's smile would never leave their nation. As long as a people, they were committed to him. And through all the years that this nation has been on the planet, we've done a lot of wrong things. And we've suffered through doing terrible things to people. And God's judgment has come, but also his mercy has come because we've turned back to him. But what has happened, and all of you can see this, is that we're beginning to turn away from him. It is awesome that people are coming to Christ. But I'm talking about as a nation, we are turning away from him. And what that means is that God's judgment comes to those nations that have dedicated everything to him. I won't get into a whole lot of detail just yet, but the word is return. We live as a nation with God's favor. When we withdraw from him, when we turn from God, we lose that favor. It threatens our nation's prosperity, it threatens our nation's protection, and it threatens our nation's peace. So if we will turn back to him as a nation, God's mercy and his love. And you say, well, there's only a few of us in here. Listen, if you carry this message and you begin to ask God to give you more revelation, the joy and the hope that we have is in his return. And all that he has for us is people of God. But as a nation, if we don't turn to him, then he has to respond. So this is all about returning. We have to ask the question, will we do that? Will we move toward God? Or will we become a defiant people that say, we got it. We know what we're doing. We don't need you anymore. We don't need you. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom was a city of corruption. It was violent. There was immorality, lawlessness. Yet there was still hope. God gave them still hope. He said, if you can find just 10 people, I'll spare the land. You know the story. He couldn't find them. Not 10 righteous people. If you know the story of King Josiah, Judah was a prospering kingdom. But then they turned from God. And they began to worship false gods. And again, some things I won't share what they did. But they did these things. And all of a sudden, Josiah came back on the scene. King Josiah. And you know what he did? He stood up. And he turned back because God had already judged him. And Josiah knew that God's judgment was on them. And so he turned the whole nation back to God. He destroyed all the idol worship. And he turned them back to the Lord. He established the house of the Lord. And they began to prosper. And the mercy of God began to happen. And the judgment was delayed. And then Josiah died. And the people had an opportunity right there to keep living on for God. And what did they do? They turned to choose and walk away from God again. And God's judgment came upon them. In every event, we know that God's judgment is not greater than God's compassion. And that's the hope we have. Listen, God's judgment is not greater than his compassion. His compassion is much greater than his judgment. But if this nation does not turn to him, if we as a people don't turn to him, he can't help but bring forth his judgment. And God's calling America to return to him. And that's my message, is to return. To return to him with all your heart. This message was given to King Solomon for his people. Under judgment. Under judgment. And when he gave the message, God began to move. This same message has been given to America. God's will is not that any should perish. You know that scripture. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He loves us. But his judgment is out of necessity, not his desire. Because the good must end the evil. And that's what's transpiring. He won't tolerate it to keep increasing at the rate that it is. This message is found to me in 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is one scripture that I can say that I've been devouring. This is one scripture that I can say, like Ezekiel, I've really eaten on this scripture. And I really believe that it is the message for this region and for the nation. This is a call of God. And when this scripture was given, a lot of people, again, in context, it wasn't given just to a church. It was given to a nation, the nation of Israel. That's the context of this scripture. And this same scripture has been given to us as Americans. This is the call of God to our nation that was once dedicated to God. We were completely dedicated to God. And my people refers to the entire nation. Once you're dedicated to his purposes, America, once it's been dedicated to his purposes, his hand of favor has been on us. This is a call also to all believers to turn to his ways. You see, the call is to the righteous and the unrighteous. And it's a call of repentance. Why do I say that? Because if the righteous, listen, if the righteous had been, listen, the lights that we need to reflect in him, if the righteous would have been the lights that we needed to be, we would have never been in the state we are right now as a nation. That's hard to swallow. If the lights, if the 10 righteous would have been the light that they needed to be as a Christian church or as Christian people, our nation would not be in the state that it is right now. And so we were called to be that light. We would never have fallen as it's fallen. Was America founded on prayer? Do you guys know that or not? Was it? Yes, absolutely. The day it was dedicated, it was a time of prayer. I'm not going to get off the subject, but this is a whole other teaching and a whole other thing I'd love to talk about. But a lot of people don't know this one little truth. America, when Israel was dedicated, their nation, when they dedicated their nation, they dedicated it where the capital was in Jerusalem, where the Holy of Holies was, okay? They dedicated where the house of God was. And they prayed that day and dedicated to the Lord, and the Lord showed up and he moved in a powerful way, and he blessed them. Our nation was dedicated in the same manner. When God brought judgment on Israel, he brought that judgment right to the place that they dedicated their nation to. At the same place that they dedicated it, he brought his judgment. It was kind of a breach into their nation. And it opened up their eyes. And they began to turn to God, but then they began to turn away from God. Because they got very prideful that they could make it and do it on their own. Why do I say that? Because I've kind of been leading up to saying that Israel was dedicated to God. America was dedicated to God. And it was in the capital, Jerusalem. Do you know that the day that our nation was dedicated to God, it was also in the capital? But do you know where the capital was? It wasn't in Washington. The capital was in New York City. New York City. And President Washington, with a whole bunch of other folks, they walked and they dedicated our nation in New York City. And they walked and found this little church. And they dedicated our nation in that little church. And you know where that little church is? That little church is at Ground Zero at 9/11. That little church is right next to the two towers. That showed our financial stability and our power as a nation. The dedication of the United States, you can check it out, of the United States of America was at Ground Zero. And when the two towers fell, everything was destroyed in that whole area except one little church. And there it is. Because a beam struck a sycamore tree that kept that beam from destroying that church. I'll talk more about that later. So the point that I'm making is just this, that God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of judgment because he can't allow the evil to continue. If a nation is dedicated to God and we choose to walk away and choose to do what we're doing, just like when we took prayer out of school, when we did that, when we no longer allowed prayer to happen, you say, this is old news. No, it's not. It's new news. It's always going to be news because it was a retreat back from who we were as a people. God is wanting us to return to him with all of our heart. You guys still with me? I haven't lost you. I don't think I have anyway. I'm trying not to. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you read it again, you know it. Most of you know it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we're going to talk about that, and turn from their wicked ways, then he says these three things I'm going to do. I'm going to hear you from heaven. I'm going to forgive you of your sin. I'm going to heal your land because he's a God of compassion more than he is a God of judgment. That's who our God is. That's the hope that we find. That's the urgency of the hour. A call to righteousness. When it says, of course I already said that, but when it says seek his face, how does one seek his face? How do you do that? Do you have an answer? How do you seek his face? This is a quick, there's probably different responses, but by taking everything serious enough to turn away from everything else that you have a pursuit of more than seeking his face in him. So he's saying, that if this nation would turn away from their identity that they find in their power and turn to me, I will be the power. If they put everything, or individuals, if you're going to seek his face, that means everything else you're pursuing, you're saying, nope, I'm going to seek God's face. Because I need some forgiveness happening in my life. I need some healing happening in my life. I need to make sure that God is hearing the things that I'm crying out. So turning from our wicked ways, that's the other one. What is that all about? That's about repentance. And I'll tell you this, without repentance in your life, in the church of Jesus Christ's life, in this nation's life, without repentance, everything is null and void. If you think that you can just go on living in grace and keep sinning and doing what you want to do, I believe that most of what you're going to do is be null and void. And God's calling you to be fully, absolutely in him. Only in repentance, only in repentance can judgment be averted. That's the only way. I know it's a heavy message for Tuesday night, but that's what I'm burning on. That's what the Lord's speaking to me about. Without a change of course right now as a nation, our destination isn't going to change. And again, I told you at the beginning, when you start speaking this kind of truth, it's hard for people to get. But again, these messages should be spoken in joy. Because the joy is of what's coming. You see, we should be excited that the Lord wants to drive all evil off the planet. We should be excited about that. But we're like, oh no, judgment. No, he's more a God of compassion and mercy. But we got to step up to the plate. And again, it's for the righteous and the unrighteous to repent. Because if the righteous would have lived in the light that he's called us to live in, and I'll put myself right in the front of the line, then our nation would not be in the place it is right now. So the righteous need to step forward and repent so that judgment can be averted. Again, without a change, it's not going to happen. Our call is to be a light to the world. If we return to him, things are going to shift and change. Our nation's future is resting on three words. What do you think they are? Our nation's future, make sure you lock this in, or you can say, I don't believe it. Our nation's future is resting on three words. If my people. The whole nation is resting on those three words. And again, context, context, context. Matter of fact, I could say this. The whole nation is resting on one word. If we'll turn to him with all of our heart. If we'll return to him, if we'll weep and we'll mourn and we know our condition and we will repent, turn from our wicked ways, seek his face and pray. Now, again, I want to encourage you. I don't want you to go out here with long faces going, oh, no, what does it mean? Well, I'll say one more thing and then I'm going to close. Maybe, you know how that is. Something pops in and you go, I got to say that. After 9/11, in the day of King Solomon and the judgments that came on Israel, every 7 years, the judgment would reoccur. Now, it's different in different times. It's not always 7 years, but seven is a big number to God. And every 7 years, things would happen. And so after 9/11, Ground Zero, which was our nation's capital, where they dedicated the nation in New York City. That was the capital of that time. 7 years later, to the Jewish calendar, to the day, within 3 hours, 2008 financial collapse happened. 7 years later, to the day. It's true. God's judgment. He's more a God of compassion than he is a God of judgment. He's more a God of mercy. 7 years. Now, does that cause you to fear or whatever? Well, you know what? If you're taking the scroll and you're eating it and you're devouring it and you're letting it go down to nourish every part of who you are, what happens? It stirs you up to say, yes, God is in control. I don't have to worry about the stock market. I don't have to worry about this, that, and the other. See, if we're not rooted and grounded in that, then as God begins to try to draw us to return to him, we will begin to move away from God. I had a friend of mine speak to me today about a well-known minister that he's loved for years, and all of a sudden he finds that it kind of grieved his heart that this man is kind of beginning to compromise the Word of God when he's been always a man of God and a man of the Word. You see, it's kind of a demise that's beginning to happen because we're moving away, because we're being more influenced by society. When it says seek his face, it means everything else that you're pursuing, put it aside and seek his face and seek him. That's the time we're living for this generation. Does that mean I can't have any fun? Absolutely not. Does it mean you can't have fun? You can have a great time. You can live the adventure. You can understand the time in which you're living and live it even more to the fullest each and every day. Because you know, you're not sitting and cowering in fear because you understand the Word. You've devoured the Word and the Word has become a part of your life. And today I laid on its floor and I repented. I said, God, forgive me for not allowing the Word to be consumed more in my life. And so that's why I have to preach it. It's what I've devoured. It's what God's spoken to me. You say, is that for all of us since it was for you? Absolutely it is. The Word is living. And all of us can go deeper in the Word. All of us can. So we believe that judgment can be averted. And one of the things we want to keep doing is sharing the book of Daniel and speaking about Zechariah and speaking about Matthew 24 and sharing some of the things that we're getting and we're hearing and some of the timelines so that you can begin to say, okay, you know, I believe things are close, but my faith is in God. I'm going to live. I'm going to enjoy God. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And I'm not going to live in fear, only the fear of the Lord. Amen. Okay, why don't you guys stand, and Michael, come on up. I'm just going to pray a little bit. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2, again, verse 1. I just want to speak this, and I want you to look at it a little deeper just as we begin to close out here. And I want you to ask yourself that question. I need to ask myself that question. Everybody in here needs to ask it. He says to the angel of the church in Ephesus, writes, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, which is the church, the churches in the midst. He's walking in our midst. He's walking in the midst of your teaching. He's walking in the midst of your heart, in your worship, in your time, because we're the church. Says this, I know your deeds. Now, this is what's so key right here, guys. Look at this. The Lord is saying, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance. So, you've persevered. This is kind of how it hit me today. I'll use me, okay? I was like, yeah, I persevered. It's all about Jesus. I won't shrink back, da-da-da, you know. I've done that, yeah. And that you cannot tolerate evil men. Okay, well, yeah. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you have endured, listen to this one, you have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Well, that leaves me out. I've grown weary at times. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. I have this against you. I walk in the midst of your ministry. I walk in the midst of your family. I walk in the midst of all that you do, amidst the seven lampstands. I'm there. And I see all that you do, and I think that's awesome. But there's one thing. You've forsaken your first love. You've left me. You've got distracted. Come back to me. Remember I told you the word is return. Return. Return is the word. Return to him with all of your heart, with everything. And you said, man, that's a heavy message. I'm just telling you that God is in absolute control. He is. He's got a plan for us like no other people on the face of the planet. He's got a plan because he says, if my people who are called by my name will pray, will turn, will seek, this is what he's asking of us, and that they would finally call it what it is, wickedness, and they turn away from it and they say, I can't let it happen no more. And he says he's going to do what he does, which is with great compassion and mercy. Amen? Amen. So Don't be freaked out about the message tonight. I want to encourage you to walk in hope and in the joy of the Lord. You can't have these messages without hope and joy. Like I said, the king is coming back for his bride. And he's riding on a white horse. And he's coming back to redeem all things. And he's got it completely under control. That should say, yes, my hope is in him and nothing else. That's the song we sing. That's what it is. So Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight. We know that you are the King of glory. We know you, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Yeshua. You are the Messiah. And you are the one that's coming. I ask that even now, that you would prepare us, that we would overcome deception, that we would respond to God and allow him to prepare our hearts for the days ahead. We love you. I ask that you would touch every man and woman in this place, that we would be consumed with you, that our hearts would be prepared, that we wouldn't be swallowed up by this world, but we'd be consumed by your word and your love. We surrender tonight. We give it all to you. I ask for a real God, Holy Spirit, heart response tonight. Just want you to pray. And if you do need to come forward, need prayer, feel free to do that. Your design is to turn us to you. Tonight, turn our hearts as we say yes to you. Let us be a people consumed of your word. And if we're in a direction that is away from you, that tonight would be a directional change. Yes, God.